We're continuing our studies in the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." So therefore, in verse 1 is really a conjunction to draw our attention back to chapter 3. And I want to read verses 12 and 13. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." One of the things that I notice in this passage of Scripture is that He is talking to brethren. He is talking to saved people. But He is talking to more than just people who are saved. Brethren is a group of believers in the body of Christ that are more intense in their walk with Him. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, it says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." There are many believers today who are not doing the will of the Father. They're living in sin. They're not abounding in love toward one another. They have what is known as fire insurance, so to speak. They're just saved. They're in the family. And that is sufficient for them. In fact, doing the will of the Father requires finding out what the will of the Father is. And to find out the will of the Father, one must study the Word of God. One must read the Word of God. I believe even being among those that love and appreciate the Word of God helps us to know what the will of God or the will of our Father is. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Notice that there's a unique word in this verse. It says, "Enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except you be born from above, you will not see the kingdom of heaven." There is a difference between seeing and entering. To enter the kingdom of the heavens is to rule and reign with Christ. To see the kingdom of heaven is to be a subject in that kingdom. Not to be sovereigns, but to be servants. One thing that we find in reading the Word of God is that if you are a child of God, you are a servant of servants. If you want to be great, the Lord says to His disciples, you be servant. You be the servant. And let me say this. There are many Christians today that are not servants. But let me tell you, one day they will serve. And that serving will take place during the millennium. And it behooves us to serve for a meager 50, 60 years rather than serving for 1,000. If you can appreciate the difference between the two. But obviously we will be serving in the kingdom in ruling and reigning with Christ. But anyway, this shows you the intensity of the Lord Jesus Christ and His doing the will of the Father. In John chapter 4, verse 34, it says, "Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." And who was it that sent Him? It was the Heavenly Father that sent Him. Not only to do His will, but to finish His work. What does it say? What did He say? He says, "I am satisfied like one who would be eating a meal and doing the will of the Father. It satisfies me. My need, my desire is to do the will of the Father and to finish His work. So He's talking to people that are intently, intensely doing or seeking the will of the Father. One of the things that I want you to notice is also in verse. Let me just see here. I'm kind of skipping around a little bit here, but I want you to see in chapter 1, verse 7. He is telling those at Thessalonica that they are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So he is sort of setting them up on a pinnacle or a pedestal. You are an example to all. And yet, in the passage of Scripture that we've already read in 1 Thessalonians 4:1 and also in chapter 3, verse 12, he uses the term increase and abound. And in chapter 1 or chapter 4 verse 1 it says abound more and more. You can be on the top as far as example is concerned and you haven't arrived. That's what God wants us to appreciate, or the Lord wants us to appreciate. Even though you are doing a great thing and in honoring the Lord and doing the will of the Father, you need to increase. You need to do more. You have not arrived. In fact, down in verse 9, I see, is it verse 9? No, it's verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. Now this has to do with love, loving the brethren. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. I think that's rather interesting to see that Paul is encouraging them to do more. One passage of Scripture that comes to mind, and it's interesting sometimes when these thoughts come to you, in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 12. This thought came to me that last night while I was laying in bed, musing on the message this morning. And I didn't write it down. And so when I got up this morning, I forgot where it was. That's happened to me more than once. And I was just sitting down at my study this morning, early in the morning, and I said, Lord, you gave me that verse last night in bed. I need it this morning. And it wasn't 10 seconds. It came to mind. So the Lord wanted you to have it because He gave it to me by special request. And what Paul said in verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained. He says, I have not arrived. Either were already perfect or complete, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and pressing or reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had not arrived, and he continued to press the mark. What was the mark? Well, I don't think it was the finish line. What it is that he was pressing toward was the standard line. You know, there is a piece of platinum, I believe it is, that has a scratch on it, 1 meter long. It's probably in Greenwich, wherever they keep these standards. And a meter is set to that. It's not a scratch, it's a line, actually. And it is measured at even 0 degrees centigrade. And so that is the standard. Paul was pressing toward that standard, and that standard pertained to the above calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the above calling? The above calling is to come up and rule and reign with me in His coming kingdom. This is not talking about the rapture. You don't have to press toward the mark to be raised from the dead, but you do have to be pressing toward the mark if you expect to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. Now, so he's talking to brethren, and he is encouraging brethren to do more and to increase and to abound and to do it more and more. So we're all encouraged to do more than we're doing. Now, one of the things that he encourages them to do, in fact, he says, we beseech and we exhort. The word beseech is translated, I'm asking you, I desire you, I'm entreating you, I am praying for you, that you would walk and that you would please the Lord. First of all, to walk, as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so would ye abound more and more. And by the way, the word ought is in the present tense, and abound is in the present tense. This is something that's ongoing. The present tense means continuous action. It's to continue. It's not an event. It's something that goes on and on. And we're to walk worthy of the Lord. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. A worthy walk is a pleasing walk. Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And that is a pleasing walk. Our walk should be a fruitful walk. Now, a fruitful walk is a walk that bears fruit. Now, what is that fruit to be used for? Well, it's others are to benefit from it. I have never seen an apple tree eat one of its apples. Apple trees provide apples for whom? Others. And our fruitful walk is to benefit whom? Others. All men. And particularly those of the household of faith. We are to be a blessing to them. And to do this, I believe that we need to increase in the knowledge of God. And this word knowledge here is exact knowledge. It's knowledge upon knowledge. It's growing knowledge. It's not stagnant knowledge. You've never learned it all. You always have to be reading God's Word. It's fresh. It's alive. This is a living book. And because it is living, you will receive encouragement and light, more light from day to day. Now, we're to walk in the light of His Word. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I know that in verse 9 it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But my daughter asked me one time, she said, Daddy, I can't remember all my sins. I'm not sure that I've confessed all of my sins and forsaken them. And I said, honey, I said, if you will just walk in the light of His Word, the Lord's blood will take care of things that you can't remember. You maintain a walk and a fellowship in the Word of God, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will take care of those sins that you have forgotten you've ever done, and that fellowship will be restored. So, it's important to be in the Word of God, not only for growth spiritually, but also for cleansing from sins that you don't even know about. You know, there are things that, there are standards in this book that we don't even know about yet. And because we don't know about it, we can't confess it and forsake it. And so therefore we have to rely upon fellowship with Him in the Word. And of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I've already quoted by when he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And also in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we are encouraged to walk in newness of life. Paul says, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What is baptism a symbol of? It's not a symbol of your salvation. It's a symbol of you dying to self. If baptism is a symbol of salvation, then tell me when Jesus was saved. Because Jesus was baptized. Baptism is a symbol of saying, Abba, Father. I believe that that's about as close as you can get. What does it mean to say, Abba, Father? All things are possible unto thee. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If we have died to self, and God has raised us up from that death, we should be living in a new way of life. So we're to walk in newness of life. We're to walk as sons. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Many teach that the Spirit here is the Holy Spirit. If it's the Holy Spirit, I have difficulty comprehending how to walk in the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? I really don't think that this is a reference to the Holy Spirit, because the word holy is not in the verse. In fact, the word Holy, in other words, a reference to the Holy Spirit is not even found in the book of Galatians. The phrase the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit here is a reference to walking in the Spirit of sonship. Now I can relate to that. The spirit of a son is that of obedience. The spirit of sonship is maturity, accountability. And let me tell you, my flesh wars with that spirit that Jesus Christ had. He had that spirit. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, because ye are being sons, the present tense of the verb, ye are being sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Jesus Christ was behaving Himself as the Son of God because He was born the Son of God. He is our example. And let me just point this out. Verse 7 is really very significant. It says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. That verse tells me this. We're not sons yet. Because if we are sons, then we are no more servants. But that we know is, that we know is not true. We are servants. But we can behave in the spirit of sonship. We can act like a son. We can think like a son. We can behave like a son. And then when the sons of God are revealed at the redemption of the body, that is in Romans chapter 8, then we will be placed in a position of sonship to rule and reign with Christ. We know that the sons of God are ruling and reigning today, and they are the fallen angels of Satan, and they are called the sons of God. One day, all of those angels will be kicked out of heaven and cast down here on the earth. Then we, which are at the judgment seat of Christ, been approved to rule and reign with Christ, will be placed in positions of sonship that the fallen angels have vacated. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring out the fact that we can walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh will cause us to fail. But to walk in the spirit of sonship is to be a mature child of God. I have emphasized this concept with Romans 8:15, where it says, "Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And then, of course, in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, Jesus in the garden prayed, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt." Now that is the behavior of a son. Things we don't like, we ask God to take them away. But we need to be also willing to say, "Lord, this pleases You for me to have this or to go through this. That's okay with me. I trust You. I know You know what's best for me." That's living by faith, is trusting the Father with your life and the circumstances of your life. So, we're encouraged to walk as sons. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 7 through 17, it says, "Walk as those that are wise. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." To walk in wisdom is to walk circumspectly and not as fools. What does a fool say in his heart? "There's no God." There are many today that are living like there is no God. And they don't have a God, and so therefore it's normal for them. But what about the child of God that is living like there is no God? They allow themselves privileges to do certain sins that are drunkenness, pride. I mean, the list goes on. And living like that is living like a fool, living like there's no judgment seat of Christ coming. But beloved, it's coming. And we need to be wise. And being wise, we will understand what the will of the Lord is and do it. I think of the passage in Romans chapter 12 where it says that we are to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the only way that you can do that is by transforming your mind, changing your mind. And don't crawl off the altar, but be a living sacrifice. There's a lot of living sacrifices that crawl off the altar. And Paul says that we are to be living sacrifices. Now, we're to walk as wise, we're to walk as sons, we're to walk by faith, we're to walk in the light, and we're to please God. We want to hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I will make you ruler over much." So to please God, Romans 8 tells us, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." You live in the flesh. Now this is not saying that if you've still got flesh and blood, you can't please God. That's not what this is saying. What this is saying is if you're living in the flesh, you're fulfilling the desires of the flesh, then it says you cannot please God. You have to learn to deny yourself. You have to be temperate and self-control. Otherwise, you cannot please the Lord. Well, I tell you what I think I'm going to do. I think I'm going to pick up here, Lord willing, next Sunday, because I don't have enough time to finish this message out this morning because we had breaking of bread. But the thought that I think that we can carry away with us is this. If you're walking in the light today, you need to walk in it more. You need to abound in it. If you're walking by faith, you need to do that more than you've been doing it. You need to increase. In fact, the church at Thessalonica had some things lacking in their faith, and Paul wanted to bring that bring that up to speed. I guess that's a good term. That's not a very good biblical term. But he wanted them to live more by faith than they have been. And if you've been walking circumspectly, the Lord wants us to do it more than we've been doing it in the past. And the way you do that is the knowledge of His Word. Be in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Read the Word of God. It is essential if we expect to do more than what is required of us and to press toward the mark for the prize of the above calling of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord help us to do that to His honor and glory and our good and profit. Father, we just thank You so much for Your Word that provides all that we need for life and godliness. It provides what we need for ministry. It provides what we need that we might stand approved in Your presence. Help us, Lord, to not only hear the Word of God read and to read the Word of God, but Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. It doesn't work on the printed page. It works in the heart. Help us, Lord, to allow Your Word to move and to stir our hearts for Thee. Help us, Lord, to be willing to walk in newness of life. Help us, Lord, to do more and more and abound and increase in those things, Lord, that are pleasing in Your sight. We again thank You for Your presence with us this morning and for Your ministry in our midst. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.